In 2006, former President George Bush made an announcement. In addition to suspected terrorists being held at the Guantanamo Bay prison, a group of high-level detainees were held at secret locations outside the United States in a separate program operated by the CIA. At these places, he said, they were questioned.
The CIA used an alternative set of procedures. These procedures were designed to be safe, to comply with our laws, our Constitution, and our treaty obligations. The Department of Justice reviewed the authorized methods extensively and determined them to be lawful.
After the prisoners' detention at these so-called black sites, they were transferred back to Guantanamo Bay, where they were interviewed about their treatment by the International Committee of the Red Cross. 14 detainees told their stories. This was compiled into a document intended to be seen only by high-level administration insiders. But that document was obtained by Mark Danner, author of Torture and Truth, America, Abu Ghraib, and the War on Terror. Abu Zubaydah, a high-level al-Qaeda operative, was captured in March 2002 in Pakistan and transferred to one of the black sites. I asked Mark Danner what happened to Zubaydah. As a warning, the following descriptions are graphic. Mark Danner says the CIA interrogation proceeded in two stages. First, sleep deprivation. Zubaydah was shackled to a chair for days and subjected to loud music and lights.
We see a definite second stage from this initial sleep deprivation, which went on for a number of weeks, to active measures that include beatings. A towel was looped around Abu Zubaydah's neck, and he was smashed repeatedly against walls. Eventually, two boxes were moved in front of his cell. He was forced into the tall coffin-like box for a couple of hours, very difficult to breathe in there, absolutely dark, and so on. He was then smashed against the walls repeatedly again. And what's significant is when he emerged from the box, plywood had been affixed to one of the walls. And he mentions in his account, given to the International Committee of the Red Cross, that he surmised that the interrogators had decided that they had better put plywood against the walls to prevent any bones from being broken. Finally, he was strapped to a kind of hospital gurney table that had appeared while he was in one of the boxes. The table was reversed so that his head was lower than his feet, a cloth placed over his nose and mouth, and water poured for a period of time over his face, which led to, as the International Committee of the Red Cross report calls it in its chapter on this, suffocation by water.
Mark, tell us how carefully the detention of Abu Zubaydah, who you say was a test case for the other detainees who would follow him, was coordinated by the CIA and the White House. How much knowledge was there?
Each of these procedures had to be specifically approved by higher-ups in the CIA. We know further that George Tenet, at the time the director of Central Intelligence, was, again, almost on a day-by-day basis, bringing these procedures in all their specificity to meetings of the Principals Committee. The Principals Committee is the highest policymaking body in national security in the American government and includes the Vice President, the Secretary of State. So, in effect, when we talk about these procedures and all their vividness, they were being looked at and approved point by point by the highest officials in the American government on a day-by-day basis.
How did you get the document?
The document came into my hands from parties who thought it should be made public.
President Bush stated on more than one occasion that the United States does not torture. Does this suggest that, in fact, that's an untruth?
Yes. The ICRC's legal authority means that their determination really has to be taken as true. There's a long history from documents that we know we've already published. I published a number of them in Torture and Truth 4 years ago myself, which show a process within the administration where torture was essentially redefined. One of the critical aspects of the ICR report being made public now is its determination that these activities were torture is absolutely definitive, absolutely authoritative. These activities were torture. The International Committee of the Red Cross says so, and they use the definitions in treaties that the United States has signed on to.
Mark Danner, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Jackie.
Mark Danner's reporting can be read in today's New York Times, and you can read the full version in the new issue of the New York Review of Books. Links to both pieces are at our website on npr.org.